With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates Carney. A Montana Air National Guardsman was one of three Americans who died in a large air tanker crash while fighting bushfires in Australia earlier this week. Yellowstone Public Radio News' Kay Erickson reports.
The C-130Q Hercules aircraft was piloted by Captain Ian H. McBeth from Great Falls. He was a member of the Montana Air National Guard and had also served with the Wyoming Air National Guard. He had spent his career in the military and with Colson Aviation flying C-130s. The other members of the crew were First Officer Paul Clyde Hudson of Arizona and Flight Engineer Rick A. DeMorgan of Florida. The crew members belong to aerial firefighting company Colson Aviation, based in British Columbia, Canada, that had a contract with Australia to fly in the New South Wales region. There are several hundred American volunteers in Australia helping with the firefighting, including those from the U.S. Interior Department, U.S. Forest Service, and the National Weather Service. Patrick Gilchrist is an incident meteorologist from Glasgow who spent 6 weeks in Australia in November and December working with the Australian meteorologist, providing specific incident forecasts for the wildfires. He got to see their size and ferocity up close.
I've been on fires where there's been hundreds of thousands of acres burned, and over there, there's, you know, some of them are you know, half a million acres, and the total number of acreage burned is in the tens of millions of acres burned, and it's just really a bad situation over there.
C-130 firefighting aircraft operating in New South Wales, where the accident occurred, and in Victoria have been grounded until further notice. Colson Aviation will be sending a crew to help in the investigation. I'm Kay Erickson with Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Grizzly bears that make their way into the Bitterroot ecosystem will have Endangered Species Act protections. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service officials made that announcement in a letter to national forests in the area earlier this week. Nick Mott reports.
The statement clarifies a long-standing question mark over the status of grizzlies in the Bitterroots. The area is currently considered unoccupied, but is key for connectivity between Yellowstone and Glacier Area bears. A Clinton-era plan would have reintroduced an experimental and non-essential population of grizzlies there. That plan was scrapped in 2001. But until this week, the legal status and protections of grizzlies in the area were never formalized. Mike Bader, a consultant with the Flathead Lolo Bitterroot Citizen Task Force, says it's a wake-up call to the Forest Service.
The management and the protection is going to have to adapt to catch up with the bears.
In a written statement, a spokesperson for the Forest Service said the letter provides clarity on the legal status of grizzlies in the Bitterroots and will inform future consultation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Gary McFarland of Friends of the Clearwater says it's a step in the right direction, especially as the Nez Perce Clearwater moves forward with its draft forest plan, which was released in December.
It is putting them on notice that they need to consult with the Fish and Wildlife Service, and eventually they have to provide protection for grizzlies, and this forest plan doesn't do any of that.
Public comment on the Nez Perce Clearwater plan goes until March 19th. Forest plan revisions for the Lolo and Bitterroot National Forests are also underway. I'm Nick Mott, Montana Public Radio.
The Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa Indians will celebrate this Saturday something generations have fought for and that 400 other North American tribes are without: federal recognition. Olivia Reingold with Yellowstone Public Radio News reports.
The event to celebrate the Little Shell's federal recognition will culminate in a powwow dance and live fiddle music. State politicians like Montana Governor Steve Bullock and Attorney General Tim Fox are expected to speak at a ceremony this Saturday night in Great Falls. Before the tribe gained acknowledgement last month, Little Shell Chairman Gerald Gray told Yellowstone Public Radio that he didn't want to get his hopes up by planning a celebration.
I've been planning it in my mind. Yeah, and you don't want to ever put the cart before the horse.
The tribe had been fighting for federal recognition since treaty talks over 100 years ago. Montana's congressional delegation had tried and failed to pass Little Shell federal recognition bills for over a decade. It passed last month as a rider in the National Defense Bill.
The dignity was always been kind of in question. You know, are you really an Indian? Well, yeah, we always knew we were. But as other tribes And non-Indians looked at us as like, well, you're not federally recognized.
Now the Montana tribe can gain a 200-acre land base and be eligible for federal dollars from agencies like the Bureau of Indian Affairs and Bureau of Indian Education. The celebration is expected to start at 5 p.m. Saturday at the Holiday Inn in Great Falls. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Olivia Reingold is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America Corps member. Crow tribal executives are asking the Montana Attorney General for help in an investigation into the death of a 16-year-old girl. The request comes after a preliminary autopsy report listed hypothermia as Selena Not Afraid's cause of death. In a statement, Crow Chairman A.J. Not Afraid wrote he'd formally request state assistance to investigate the death of his niece. Selena disappeared at an Interstate 90 rest area on New Year's Day. Her body was found earlier this week. Chairman Not Afraid wrote rural communities across the state require greater resources and personnel during complex investigations. He added segregated resources and divided communities are causes of the numerous unsolved cases of missing and murdered Indigenous people. Federal officials say the newest operator of six coal mines has fallen behind on federal and county mineral taxes. The Casper Star Tribune reported Thursday that the Navajo Transitional Energy Company owes the federal government more than $10 million in unpaid taxes. The company took over mines in Wyoming and Montana in October from the bankrupt coal firm Cloud Peak Energy. U.S. Representative Greg Gianforte is playing up his close ties to President Donald Trump as he tries to squash questions raised by his Republican primary opponents about his ability to reclaim Montana's governor's seat. In the first debate to feature all three candidates, Attorney General Tim Fox noted that he received 96,000 more votes in the 2016 election than Gianforte, who lost a bid for governor that year. State Senator Al Olszewski made a thinly veiled reference to Gianforte's assault of a reporter in 2017, saying he wasn't going to be, quote, body slammed out of this race, unquote. Amid rumors, Olszewski might drop out. The primary is June 2nd. The University of Montana says it is working to learn from critical responses to a social media post featuring four white students who won an essay contest about Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy. The Missoulian reported a majority of the 1,000 comments responding to the post Monday were critical of selecting only white students. The university says the contest sought submissions from students, faculty, and staff, but only received six submissions, and all were white students. The university says the response shows the difficulty of discussing race on social media and will inform its perspective moving forward. Montana's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate has held steady at 3.4% in December. That's according to the latest numbers from the State Department of Labor. The department says total employment, which includes agricultural payroll and self-employed workers, grew by 1,200 jobs in December, while the workforce grew by 1,400 workers. This is Montana Public Radio News.